All right, let's look at the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon you, Israel, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord thy God has driven you. And then you shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command you this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn your captivity and have compassion upon you, and will return and gather you from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence he shall fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that you may live. And the Lord thy God, verse 7, will put all these curses upon your enemies and on them that hate you, which persecuted you. And you shall return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command you this day. And the Lord thy God will make you plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, even as in the same way that he rejoiced over your fathers. So this is the story of mankind, but particularly the story of God's people. That God originally spoke to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, originally spoke to Abraham, who is now called the father of faith. And Abraham was told that the way the rest of the world is going, they believe that behaving yourself is the way to go, and that men will worship idols instead of the living God, because they didn't bother to find out what God's word really said. They didn't even know the living God. They just substituted some other cows or birds or creeping things or fish or trees or some kind of spirits. And they just invented those in their vain imagination. They just found some way to take away the guilt by serving and worshiping other gods. And the nations each made up their own kind of god. But they were all following the pattern that Nimrod had set up in the Tower of Babel, which we call Baalism. So Abraham, God put Abraham right in the middle of Baal worship, as he puts his church today in the middle of a wicked world, as he put Israel right in the middle where all the troubles are. And that's why all of our enemies want to do Israel in today. But actually, as we just read, Israel not only will survive, but she will thrive and flourish and be fully restored, and all the other nations will then be cursed who did them harm, or who hated them, or who really hated God's law and hated God. And so God swore an oath to Abraham, and he then became the father of faith. I'm going to do all these things for you, not based on your works, just simply based on my own love, my loving kindness, chesed in the Hebrew. Chesed means the loving kindness of God. It can be translated into mercy, or it can mean compassion. And so it has many English terms. But what it means is basically God not you deserving anything by your works, but God, just out of his mercy, out of his love, out of chesed, he just wants to do this and made an oath to say, I will do it. And I will have a people, and they're going to come out of Abraham's faith, number one up there, and then they will move into the law so that you do know that God is saying, in order to keep this blessing that he gave to Abraham, in order to keep this covenant, you have to see the law. You have to have the law. And so the people of Israel under Moses got a hold of the law of God. Now, the law of God doesn't really help you to obey it. The law of God tells you to obey it so that you'll realize you can't. And so the biggest thing that God's always wanted is for us to say, I can't. I just can't be perfect like God's perfect. And so then the promise would kick in. But instead, when they met the law, they said, we'll do it. He said, right after Moses gave the law, he said, look, I know you people. You're stiff-necked. You're stubborn. He could say, I know you Christians. It'd be just as easy. I know what you're like, even though you believe in Jesus. I know also you still want to sin. And even if you stop sinning outwardly, you'll still be sinning inwardly and fallen short of the glory of God. So then God says, but no matter, even though you sin and now you're going to be cursed, no matter, the promise still holds. Number one, still holds through number two. So faith starts me, but I have hope. Even if all kinds of bad things happen to me, it's still going to work out because of the promise. So faith will become active in love, number three, through the fulfillment of the law. Jesus said, don't think I came to destroy the law. I just came to fulfill it, to do it for you, and then to work it in you, and then to do it through you to others, so that men, when they see your good works, will give glory to the Father in heaven. So I do want works, but I don't want you to do them to get the reward. I want to do that just out of mercy, out of just pure mercy, because you don't deserve it, and because you're scattered throughout the nations, the very thing I said not to do, to keep this blessing, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I get to do what I want to do, and I'm going to bless you through Jesus Christ. He'll take all the law. He'll do all the law for you. Then he'll do it in you, and I didn't want you to do any part of it. That's why I gave the law, so you'd realize I wanted you to be perfect, and you should have said, no, I can't, or I won't, or I haven't. But instead, you said, we're still working on it. We're going to get there. We're almost there. We're not quite there, but we made a few sins. But basically, we're good people. We're trying to be good. We're trying to be nice. We're trying to do everything you said, but we're just having a little problem with a few sins, but we'll get them worked out. Well, God never wanted that. So the purpose of the law, which we're going to read, which we just read, the purpose of the law was not to have you do it, but was to have Jesus do it. So the only purpose of the law was so that you would say, forgive me. Or you would say, I didn't. Or you would say, I can't. Or you would say, I need a new heart. And that Abraham didn't give you a new heart, by the way. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. But he didn't receive the Holy Spirit like we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit to have the power to actually be transformed, not by our works, but by his mercy and his actions. So his goodness will make us good. But he won't make us good like we're good. It'll make us good like we're related to him who is good, who lives inside of us. So the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit is our goodness, not our own goodness. And so if you're a Christian and you've started out and you think, well, I'm going to believe in Jesus and I'm going to go all the way, you'll be tested. You'll be tested. And we've had people in the church that, you know, say, hey, you know, well, boy, I'm from now on, I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm going to go all the way with God. I've put my hand to the plow. I'm not turning back. And they'll be gone by a week or two. And so I always love it when they do it, but I always know it's the last time I'll see them. But because they're going to be tested. And some of you have been tested, but somehow you endured, or you just decided to, you know, just stick it out. I don't know what the thing is, but you cannot be good even after you're born again. even after your heart is renewed, even after, you know, you start wanting to do the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, even if you do a few things in the Holy Spirit, you didn't do them. That was all purely a gift of God. I mean, no, you cannot even give yourself a new heart, nor a new soul, nor a new body. You can't do any of that. You can be a hypocrite. The only thing the law does is produce hypocrites. The only thing it does is show you that you're guilty. The law doesn't do anything like, okay, do this and then you'll keep the blessing. Well, if it was up to you to keep the blessing, you'd lose it. You would get all the curses, you'd get none of the blessings. And Moses told them that. I know you people, you're stiff-necked, you're stubborn, you know, you're just hard-hearted, you're cold. That's the way we are. And King David illustrated this beautifully. He said, after committing murder of his best friend and adultery with his best friend's wife and lying about it and not writing any psalms and so on, he finally said, you know, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Now, this is not just a bit against Israel and my, you know, my new girlfriend. And it isn't just that. My best friend, I killed him. It isn't just against Israel. It isn't just against it. God, it's against you. This is where it started, right here. I did not believe your promise and stick to it. Tried to keep the law, and look what happened. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Give me another heart. I can't make another heart. I can't. I can kill some people for you, but I'm just not good at getting a new heart. How many have discovered there's a little frustration in trying to be good? Just a little bit. And being nice all the time, especially with those around you at home, you know, you can, in public, most of us can fake it. Most of us can pretty much get through an hour or so in the public. But after a while, you know, you get to drinking and you get to talking and you get to hitting and kicking and, you know, your true self is going to come out sooner or later. If people are with you for more than, you know, just a few minutes, they're going to find out you're not that lovely. You talk too much. You're boring, and so on. So then they'll find all that out, and that'll bring out their sin. Then they'll get mad at you for causing their sin to come out like that. And it just it keeps it going, and demons touch demons, and pretty soon the whole thing is awful. Have you ever noticed that about mankind? It's always at war. He's always causing trouble. You can get a new car, and pretty soon it'll be scratched. I mean, you're going to ruin anything you touch. Has anybody noticed that? You just have that knack. You just have that gift of the Holy Spirit to ruin anything. So what God wants is to get all the glory so that he can just give it to you as a free gift. He doesn't want you to earn it. He doesn't want you to work hard at it. So the promise that he gave to Abraham had no law. 430 years later, Moses comes along and gives the law so you can keep the blessings of that law. If you'll obey all these words that I've just told you, all these statutes, all these, you know, everything, commandments I've given you, then of course you'll be holy and I'll give you the blessing. And of course they didn't do it. And so where are they today? Scattered throughout the nations. Still to this day. That was, you know, 1,500 years before Jesus, then 2,000 years since Jesus. That's a long time. That's a long time. So 3,500 years of still never keeping the thing. So they should have caught on, but because they're stubborn and stiff-necked, remember even God said this, he said, blind their eyes so when they're looking they can't see, and they won't even comprehend what's going on. Close their ears so that when they're hearing they have no ability to grasp any of the words going in, like be perfect as I'm perfect. They couldn't hear those words. They couldn't even translate those words into, like, I guess I didn't do it. Because there's something wicked in all of us that unless you're born again, you're not going to be able to do that. And after you're born again, you can do it from the heart, but you didn't do it from the soul. And you didn't do it from the body. And sooner or later, people catch you and say, oh, you said the other day, da, da, da. Look what you're doing right now. People will catch you, especially those that are close to you at home. And so your own family, I mean, I'm not including Tommy and Latrice, but I mean others. So they're Christians, so that doesn't occur. But no, it's going to come out. All your sins are going to come out. How many know at home, that's where you really see the real person? Because you can only fake it so long. Pretty soon the mask is going to come off and, you know, even if you don't say anything, you're thinking all kinds of things and you're judging and criticizing. And the only reason you do that is to avoid looking at yourself. So when you criticize somebody else for the obvious sins they do, you don't see the hidden sins that you've done. But when you get mad, you realize, well, at least something's wrong with me because I'm irked. And irk is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Irk is, you know, where you're mad at somebody else because they let the sin right out, and that could actually harm your protection of that thing that you're trying to hide, and it could bring you out. And so, you know, your demons cause my demons to get mad, and I don't like, I'm leaving you. I don't even like being around you because you're bringing out all my bad stuff. How many know that people can do that? I mean, especially people that you love. Those are the ones you hurt. I'm just telling you, when Peggy, who I know loves me so much, but she always wants to get at me and find things. it's wonderful. Is it not wonderful when that happens? It gives me an opportunity to pray for her and bless her and forgive her, and you know. But she can really get at you. But that's what people do, and that's why I have to tell her every day, Peg. You're the best. You are the best. You are such a blessing to me. And I have to do it right in the middle of some other thoughts that I have. I have to go against those other thoughts. Because, as Lori said, you have to conquer your emotional dictatorship. Don't let your emotions tell you anything or your thoughts. They're just vain and silly. And you have to just go against them and just say the word of the Lord. Just get to the truth. That'll set you free from yourself. God has set it up so that the promise is given first, like a sandwich. The promise is given first, then the thing in the middle, and then on the other end is another promise. Thank God for promises. Amen? But the last promise is even greater than the first, though it is the same. It's just a confirmation. It's just a confirmation or a fulfillment or a perfection of the one that was spoken. Now it's been actually done. A promise is no good unless it's done. And so even though we are the light and salt, we don't look like light and salt all the time. And that's what the world is looking for. So I know that we are going to have heaven on earth because he's coming back. He's coming back soon. And before he comes back, men must see our good works and give glory to the Father. Well, unless they see him and they don't have faith, they just see him. They got to see him on the outside. So unless men see men, they're not going to heaven, so they won't see him up there. They don't have TV sets to see him up there. So they have to see him down here. They have to see that the church is really the church, and they'll know that's not you. That was not you. That was not you, you know, shaping up. That was the Holy Spirit. And they'll give the Father in heaven all the glory. So that's what has to happen. Well, the Jewish people right now are coming to the Lord. And especially the leaders in Israel, I don't want to say their names, but you can figure out who they are. They are sending their children to America to get born again. They're not sending them to Europe. They're sending them to America to get born again. Because this is where the Yahoo people are. Yahoo! And they want their young people, their children, their nieces, their nephews, and so on, to come to America, get born again, and then come back to Israel and infiltrate Israeli society. That also is something similar to that is happening in China. And so the very communist leaders that you know about and think they're awful and evil, they're actually very open to the gospel right now. They're calling pastors to come over and preach to them and so on. So the whole world is ripe. The harvest is ripe. It's just the laborers that are few. So the best has been saved to the last. How many know that you're part of that group? You can see the wisdom of God there in picking us. Amen? Can anyone see how you're the chosen? But remember, he's not a respecter of persons, so he would choose anybody that was available. But, you know, we're happen to be still on the wagon, so he picks us. But the best has been saved. And now is the time not to talk about it, but to actually live in our families. And the first place is our marriages, our families with children. That's the first place the kingdom of God is seen. Not in the churches, but in the families that are the foundation of it all. That's where the devil is going to win or lose, right there in the family unit. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. You don't just get filled one time and it's over. You actually have to be filled daily because you have this tendency, you stubborn, stiff-necked people.
And me too, a little bit.
You see, we're all in the same boat. That we can look in the mirror and then forget what we look like. You can look in the mirror and know that you're a new creation in Christ, and then you can forget who you are and forget to choose, I'll be this me rather than this me or rather than this me. How many know we have several me's inside of you? When somebody says, I, you have no idea which I. Is it the devil I, or is it the flesh I, or is it you at your best I, or is it the Jesus I? You know, we can't always distinguish those. And sometimes they look the same. But sometimes it's obvious it's the devil I. That was the devil that made me do that. Well, it might have been you, too, cooperating a little bit. You know, so it's very hard sometimes to distinguish whether it was the devil or you. Okay, I'll tell you what the law does. It shows you it was never the devil. It was always you. It makes sin exceeding sin. In other words, I would feel like I was a victim of my parents. I was a victim of, you know, the way they raised me. No. So the purpose of the law is to turn victims into culprits. I want to say it again because that's an interesting idea. Is that the purpose of the law is not so you'll do it. It's so that you'll realize you're not a victim of other people's sin. But you are actually the culprit that caused the sin in your own life. And so you're completely responsible.
I didn't know anything.
That's called ignorance.
Yeah, I was ignorant.
No, you actually weren't. You actually deliberately did that.
I didn't know if I did. I don't think I did. Maybe I did.
And so people have interesting language of how to escape the guilt that comes when you have failed over and over again. How many, you know, pagans are out there who aren't even trying? At least we're better than that. No, you're actually exactly the same. It's just that you actually think good is possible, or that at least you could want to do good even if you didn't do it, or at least that somehow accidentally you could do a few good things. No, you are not good. You've never been good. You never will be good. You're not nice. You've acted nice. That's true. Some of you have acted nice. Amen. And thank you for that. Otherwise, people would be throwing stuff right now. But acting nice is not the same as being nice, right? So what God wants to do is turn every victim into a culprit. And that is the purpose of the Mosaic Law. The other law is written on your heart. Do good, don't do bad. But then there's no way to expose that, whether you really are good or bad. But God says, and Jesus said, there's none good but God. Only God is good. Only God is good. So everybody is a hypocrite and a liar. I mean, just to get along in public, you have to be somewhat of a hypocrite. Even in prison, they have to be somewhat hypocritical. You can't just do whatever you want. Somebody's going to stop you. There's always a bigger Bubba than you somewhere.
You do that, boom.
You know, and it just like, that's the end of you. And so there aren't any good guys out there. And, you know, God has deliberately put you in the middle of the world so that you'll be tempted all over the place. You'll be tested all the days of your life. And as soon as he gives you number one, you're going to be tested. And number two is the purpose of the law is not to do it or not to pretend to do it or not to be a hypocrite, not to sow on fig leaves, but to actually say I can't. That's called death of self. Death of self is the purpose of the law. So it's the love of God that gives you this beautiful gift called the law. The promise is a gift, but so is the law. The law is good. It just simply says, be like God. Be exactly as God is. Behave exactly like God. Don't ever do your own will. Do my will only. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. The only problem is that we can't do it. And we haven't done it. And we didn't do it. And we don't even want to do it. Nobody here can say, well, I wanted to do, but I just couldn't. No, you didn't. You wanted to do what you actually did. No, I didn't even know I did. Did I do that? That is so wonderful. That is so wonderful. How many have that little thing down pretty good? Did I do that? Peg, I don't think I... Did I actually do that? I don't think I said that.
Well, if I did, I didn't mean it. Those are lies. They're just kind of, I guess the devil did that or something. It wasn't me. But it is always you. I mean, no, it's always you. Even when it's somebody else, it's still you. Because if somebody else does something abusive or wrong or evil, and you notice it and you judge them, if somebody does that, it's still you choosing to judge them and criticize them, not just make a judgment. Now, I'm talking about look down on them and despise them. You're not a Christian. You're not a good person. I mean, people love that. Is that not a fun game? I am better than you are. Little kids do that all the time. Well, I'm better than you are. And little kids always want to be good. They come home with a little star. Mom, I was the only one that got one. I was the only one. There's something powerful about being great and glorious. And you're not looking for worship. You just simply want to be acknowledged as a humble doer of good. And so there aren't any. God has said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned, all have sinned, all have sinned, all have sinned. So if only God is good, then no one else is good. And if only God is good and no one else is good, then you're not good. And you can't want to be good and you aren't good. Well, at least I wanted to be good. Don't you get credit for that? If you did, yeah. Did you have any other wanters in you? How many know that we probably have several personalities inside of ourselves, and so maybe one of yourselves wanted to be good. Could you please show us that one? No, you've never wanted to do all the will of God and have no will of your own. You've always wanted to be willful, selfish, always out for yourself. You've never really cared for anybody else. Even though it looked like you did, there was some reason why there was a personal motive in there. And so I don't need to say that. I'm just telling you, the purpose of the law is to expose everybody. It's set so high, the mark is so high, the bar is so high that nobody but Jesus could fulfill it. And Jesus, he not only fulfills it, but he does it with joy. I mean, he willingly, gladly dies for mankind. There's never been anybody like that who loved a sinner. I mean, it'd be one thing if you loved a good person. But how about dying for a sinner? How about loving a sinner to your own hurt? Because when you love people, you're always going to get hurt. I'm going to say it again because you didn't take that in. Anytime you're going to love somebody, you're going to be disappointed and hurt. They will not appreciate what you just did, even if they say they do. It will soon fade. And people are fickle. One minute they're for you, and the next minute something comes up. I mean, it can be just something so superficial that they just change right like that. You're not perfect. So how many know that none of us are perfect? So sooner or later, they're going to discover that, and then it's over. It's over. Now, a lot of people play that game. It's such a waste of time to do it. Let me just say this. Okay, in church, maybe you could do it. But when you're at home, I mean, as soon as we got married, there was nothing hidden because Peggy's going to find out, you know. And so you might as well just be yourself. She's going to criticize anyway. Just be yourself. It's going to come out anyway, right? And then if she ever asks me to be honest, we talked about honesty and truth, is to be, Peg, do you really want to know what I honestly feel and think and want and so on? I don't think you do. Well, no, just how does it look on me? I'm not going to say. No, just go ahead. So you soon discover that does not work. Okay? Are you wanting me to tell a lie? Because I can do them. I'm good at lying. You want me to tell a lie? So human relationships don't work. Even if you've buried your real self is still there. Even though you got stuff all over it. It's hidden back in a closet. It's underneath the carpet. It's going to come out. How many dirt? You can go into anybody's house and find dirt. Even if they've just cleaned it. I'm telling you, you can find it. And so people have all kinds of skeletons. How many here, please do not raise your hand. How many here have regrets? There's something you regret that when you were younger at a certain point, you said or did or failed to say or do that would have been helpful rather than do nothing or bypass it or whatever. How many have regrets? Don't. That's all for Jesus. Let Jesus take care of that. He loves you just as you are. He doesn't love you as you fix up. He will never love somebody fixed up, fig-leafed, hypocritical. He only loves sinners. He just wants you to repent. And you just say something like this. Just change your mind. God, instead of hiding this, I'm just going to say, I didn't do what you said. I didn't do what you said. And that's why God asked them in the garden, did you eat of the tree of which I told you not to eat? And the answer is yes. But they didn't say that. Well, kind of, but no, not really. It was the woman you gave me. I mean, I'm just pointing this out. And so all you realize that once you start sinning, you can't stop. Once you have your first sin, it's delicious, and you won't stop. Do you know that nobody's going to be perfect until the trumpet sounds at the end of time? That's after the Antichrist. I'll tell you, if you aren't mad now, you will be when the Antichrist comes, because he will pull out all the stops. You think what's happening now, it's nothing compared to what the Antichrist is about to do. And they're just testing the waters right now. They're just finding out the range. But soon, they'll be persecuting and destroying, and I'm going to be one of the first that gets it. And it's okay. That's a good thing. But don't forget me when I get, you know, thrown in prison and so on. Say, well, maybe Pastor was bad. He said he was all the time. Maybe he's getting what he deserves. It's all true. It's all true. But have mercy on me. Be merciful to me. You know what? God loves y'all. And that's why he never put a law on you. That law was never given for anyone to do, certainly not the Jewish people. And they haven't done it. I'll just tell you, they have not done it. They've never had a perfect shalom. Shabbat shalom. They've never had a perfect one and never will. Never. Now, it's a gift. They can't pull that off. Neither can we. So let's read Deuteronomy 30 and look at some of these verses that Moses is sharing from God to show that there's two things that you're going to get. One is the blessing and one is the curse. And thou shalt call them to mind among the nations. Now see there, right there, it's kind of just the way God has phrased it. You'll remember the little thing about blessing and curse when you're among the nations because you're cursed. God has put you out of the land that he gave you. The land was a gift, and the reason they got the law was so they could go into the land so that they could set up a government that was perfect, you know, no sin in it. It could be a holy nation, a just nation on earth. But right away, they messed up, and so God warned them and, you know, get a lamb and all this. And then after a while, he just said, look, even your sacrifices don't mean anything to me. You're not, I want it from all your heart. I want it to be loving, kind, go overboard. Don't just do what you are, you know, avoid what you're not supposed to do outwardly, but I want you to do it with all your heart and all your soul. And that's said over and over again. So this idea of God wanting us to have faith, here's faith. It comes from a promise. And then here is hope, because after you've gone through all of the judgments of the law, you're going to need hope that even though I have messed up over and over again, there's still hope that this promise that God gave is going to come through. So never lose your faith that God made a promise that he's going to keep. Now, Abraham didn't keep the promise. God kept the promise. God made all the provisions. So in your life, you're not going to be any better than anybody else that's ever lived. Never. The only difference is faith, and then you have to have hope when you go through the little furnace that God has arranged for you. And then, but that furnace is not your death. That's actually your hope, because you will survive. You will be resurrected because of Jesus, who loved us and then turned us into lovers. And so now this promise is the fulfillment of the first promise, but it's also the fulfillment of the law. So both of these are fulfilled in Jesus. So this is what this movement is all about. Abraham, then Moses, then Jesus. They're all gifts of God. Everything is the truth that'll set you free right there in how God has set up the whole Bible and the whole of life. So we are living in the last days when God is going to come back. He's going to return after the Antichrist, and we're going to go through all kinds of things. And when you go through, keep your hope. Don't let your hope go. Don't say, just because it looks bad, it is bad. No, it's not. It's actually wonderful. It's actually the best thing. And did you know what? You're not the victim. You're the culprit. And actually, what God wanted through the law was to show you that you deserve all that. Whatever the Antichrist does, whatever, you deserve all that. He may not deserve to give it to you, but you deserve to get it. So that's not an issue. You're not innocent. The issue is he's not doing it to destroy you. He's doing it so that Jesus Christ, who did die, is now living in you, and therefore you'll not only make it, you're gonna flourish. You're gonna do good works while the other guy's doing bad works, and you're even gonna forgive your enemies in the midst of it. You're gonna confess your own sins. Well, I deserve it. You're also gonna say, Lord, I praise God for this. This is killing off my flesh, which I didn't know how to kill off anyway. I was a new believer, but I didn't know how to get a new soul, and I didn't know how to get a new life. But you are now providing the way, and it's a free gift. And Jesus Christ is doing it. It's not me doing anything. Jesus said, I don't do good works. When Jesus was on the earth, I know in heaven it's different, but he came down to be Son of Man. He never did a good work. Here's what he said. No, I didn't. Why do you call me good? Don't you know that only the Father's good? And the Greek actually says there's only one. We don't translate it that way, but that's what it says. It actually says there's only one, even God. And that's it. Now, we know Jesus is God, but they didn't know that. In fact, they were disputing that. How can you be the Son of God? You're not doing what God did. He gave the law of Moses. You're breaking all the laws. No, I'm not. I'm fulfilling them. No, you're not. And we're going to kill you because of that. And they thought they had him for sure. Every story is all about how Jesus is actually breaking all the Jewish laws because, you know why? Because the law, the letter of the law, killeth. And he came to give life. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So even though you think I'm breaking a lower law so that I can fulfill it in the higher law, which is show mercy to people. Christians are known more for judgmentalism than they are for love and mercy. Or they're known more for just, you know, saying, oh, well, God doesn't mean it, you know, at all. You can do what you want to do. And so that's the liberal side of the church is just, yeah, well, just kind of show love to all people. What's the difference? And they just throw truth out the window. But if you don't have truth, you don't have love. And if you don't have love with truth, speaking the truth in love, you don't have anything. You can't just have one. You have to have them both. You have to help. Love does not set free. You can't be set free by love. Somebody can love you all day long and let you be, you know, perverted to the hilt, but they still, thank God they love me. Well, I'll tell you what, that does not translate into a person feel loved. All that translates into is, I'm a victim, and that's why I'm doing this. And they don't have any view of themselves as being capable of doing anything, but thank you for loving me. They're not thanking you at all. It's kind of like, I'm such a pathetic person that you had to love me because I know I wasn't good. You know, so you can't fool God. God wants the truth spoken. That's evil. That's not good. That's the way God is. And he did that so you wouldn't have any hope in yourself, but you'd have hope in God. So you have to go back to the promise. So number two is given, so you go back to number one so that then Jesus can fulfill it in number three. So the whole gospel is set up for us to have heaven on earth. How do you get it? You can't get it just through Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant was, he didn't see very much of it at all. So he had faith, but it wasn't active in love. I mean, he personally may have had it, but the whole idea was it was supposed to go to his seed, Isaac, and then his seed, and then down to the children. There were millions and millions of them. And that's when God gave the law, was not to say, Pharaoh is mean and nasty. You people are my people, and you're so good and innocent and wonderful. No.
He gave it to show them that you're the same as Pharaoh. You are Pharaoh. One of the brothers in Dallas this morning said, you know, I realized that as you were sharing a couple of weeks ago, I'm Pharaoh. That was good. In other words, I'm not the innocent Israel. Israel was not brought out of Egypt because she was innocent. She was brought out so God could show her her guilt. That it isn't just Pharaoh doing this and that's why you're, you know, having problems and so on. No, it's you. I'm trying to kill you. So I want to take you out where I can give you a whipping out back. I'm going to bring you into the land to kill off your flesh. I mean, know that the church hasn't yet resolved that. Because the church is still thinking, well, we got Jesus' blood and we got the baptism of the Holy Ghost and stuff like that. We're even better than the Jews. No, you're not. You're exactly the same as the Jews, only they probably did more outwardly than you did. You know, when we give a used shirt, they'll give a new one. I'm just saying, they're very compassionate if you're going to measure it in human terms, but God doesn't. So their compassion, but you're not given more. I mean, they give a lot. And so they're taking that charity thing really seriously. Look, that has nothing to do with anything. Everything has to do with what did God promise, and forget the law. That was only to show you that you couldn't keep that promise, so you give him all the glory and still have hope then in him. And then Jesus fulfills it so that you actually can keep the law that was given, which you couldn't keep. So he made a promise you couldn't fulfill and confirm, and then he gave a law which you couldn't keep, but then he did all that for you. Isn't God wonderful? God is so wonderful. You've got to be in love with him. It's personal. You have to personally say, God, I deserve nothing. I shouldn't get anything. But you, I regret nothing because I'm just giving it all to you. Because everything in my life is going to turn out perfectly because of what you promised. Nothing is going to turn out perfectly because of what I promised. Or I did. I never did anything. I never did a thing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You have done nothing. And so there is no reward. You worked the heat of the day. You didn't work at all. You get zero. So you look like you were working, but actually it wasn't at all what the master wanted. It wasn't what God wanted. He wanted there to be the righteousness of faith and then the righteousness of the law, but so that then he could then fulfill it all in Jesus and fulfill everything and give it to you as a free gift. So we're about to go through now a horrendous time in the world, and your response should be, thank you. Praise you, Lord. Because it's all going to turn out for our good. Nobody good is going to go to hell. What we call go to hell. Nobody good is going to go there. But they're not going to go to heaven either. Only God and those that believe in God and then confess their sins and then walk in the Holy Spirit, not talk about it, but walk in it. And that's all a gift to God. Every one of those is a gift of God. That's just a gift. So therefore, let me close with this. Why don't we start today and say to one another, not what we feel, not what we think, not what we want, but just say heaven words. You don't need to feel it. You don't need to understand it. You don't need to even want it, because you don't anyway. All you need to do is say, I love you. It isn't related to anything that other person is saying or doing. I don't love you for a reason. I love you because God loves you, period. That's it. So whether it's someone out in the world that is a Buddhist or a witchcraft person, or it doesn't matter what they are, God loves that person, and you should show love to them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not you picking it out, but just the Holy Spirit saying, pick anybody. Just whoever you meet, wherever you go, there should be love, which is part of your fruit, part of the light of the love. But it's based upon truth, which is a person, Jesus. So therefore, why don't we just speak the truth to one another instead of what's honest? Well, I was going to say I loved you, but you just did that, so now I can't say that. You know, that's good, but that's just the devil. That's just flesh. That has no power at all. Just say to one another, as I do to Peggy every day, I love you. You're the best. I couldn't. You are the greatest gift of God to me.
And I love you just the way you are. And I don't care what you do or say or don't say. I'll never leave you or forsake you because you're the best. And I believe that. I mean, you say, well, you're just saying it. Well, it doesn't matter whether I'm just saying it or not. I'm not trying not to just say it. I'm going to say it anyway. But I actually do believe it. I just say it. I actually believe that. She's the best. So since I believe that, that changes your whole manner of life. That's the kind of good works that when men see that, it's not dependent upon anything she does or anything I do. It's totally dependent on everything God said. It's God saying, which is a promise, before seeing it, if you believe, you'll see. But if you see, you're not believing. Just because I see something, there's no need to believe. I see it. No. What God wants is say it without seeing it. And go through this world with troubles galore. Don't care about that. Don't care what it looks like. Because God wants you in this world, right now, today, right this minute, to give him all the praise and all the glory. And don't even worry about the fruit of that. But I can just tell you, the fruit of that would be, if you actually were just worshiping God, you would then love everything God loves, which would be everything. Because God is not mad at any person. He hates sin, but he does not hate sinners. He loves sinners. So, therefore, you don't have to ask, are you a Christian? Are you one my denomination? Do you guys believe in dunking or sprinkling? You know, you don't need to ask all that. That is so irrelevant. The only thing that matters is not your, you know, denominational doctrines and teachings and so on. The only thing that matters is that are you right with God through faith and then active in love? And only God can do that. You can't even figure that out. You cannot write that down in a little paragraph at the back of the page on the bulletin. Well, here's what we believe. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That has no meaning. I know people do it. It's okay. But I'm just saying, that's not reality. That's just some words. So words on a page are not reality. Are you, in fact, in love with God because he first loved you and with your neighbor, whoever he is, fellow member, doesn't matter, just with everybody? Because if you can love one person, you could love any person. But if there's even one person you can't love, then you can love no one. I'm going to say that again because it's weird. If you can just love one person, they have so much sin in just one person. If you could love that one person, you could love absolutely anybody. So our problem is not, well, I love a few people, but not those people. That's not true. If you love at all, it's not even you doing it. It's the power of God. Therefore, you can love anybody and everybody all the time. But if you can't love one person, then you can't love anybody and never have. So you need to get the law on you. You need to pray for the law. That's a gift. That law is the great gift for you because it's the only thing that drives you to Jesus. I'll give a quote for that. At the end of John, the 5th chapter, which we read last week, at the end it says, if you had believed Moses, you would believe me. In other words, if you'd believed his writings, you would believe my words. The reason you don't accept me, he's talking to the Jewish people primarily, because you don't accept me is because you never read your own law. Because your law says be perfect. And you should then humbly come and say, now what do I do? Because I'm not. But instead they said, you're a blasphemer. Well, that proved they were perfect. So they killed God's son thinking they were doing good. That's why Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm the only one that came. They can't get saved apart from me. They can't at all be right with God apart from me and faith. I'm trying to bring them back to Abraham, not to get them to be under Moses' law. Even Moses didn't get into the promised land by the law. He had to stay out, and then he died outside. Nobody knows where he's buried or anything. It's a mystery to this day. But Moses got in because of faith in Jesus, because he said to him, and he knew he wasn't perfect either. But he said to them, another prophet God's going to raise up later. Listen to him. No, don't just rely on this one word of God.
There's more words. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Not just the one word is behave yourself. Don't live by that word because nobody ever has. Could I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah. Nobody's ever lived that way. Nobody's ever behaved themselves. They just outwardly look like it. But that's not from the heart. That's not from the soul. That's why it's said in Deuteronomy, with all your heart and all your soul. Not just your lip service, outward body. But Catholicism is external. Judaism is external. Protestantism is external. You know, we're Anglican, we're Methodist, we do it this way, we do it this way. This is meaningless. It's just external. It's only, are you, in fact, a lover as God is? That's where he's trying to bring us. He doesn't care about all that individually and then as a church. So are we a church that loves this world and we don't do good works? We have to listen to God. We have to listen to God every minute of every second of every day. So worship is the only thing there is. Thank you. Praise you. I love you. That's all. That's all. That's the only thing you can do. And that good work amazes the whole world, that you could thank God for everything in your life, including your not because you sinned, but in spite of your sin. That's how you learn the unconditional love of God, because all have sinned. So there's nobody here, I know, that could stand up and say, well, I've pretty much done most of it, or you know, I'm way ahead of Judy. You that's like saying nothing. That's like saying nothing. But Judy and I are fighting for who's the worst. But I think she's ahead of me. Anyway, don't compare yourself to human beings. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. That's the goal. And there's no contest then. None of us are like Christ yet. But do we do things every once in a while? Yes, but we didn't actually do them. The new us, Christ in us. Yeah, that person did it because that person is just a house or a temple or a building or some kind of a vessel that God could use to reach the world with his love. But it's his love, not yours. It's his work, not yours. He did all of that on Calvary. In fact, all the works that you could ever do that would be called good by God were done before the foundation of the world. Not one of them has been done afterward. No work has ever been done in this world. All the good works were done prior to the world even beginning. They were all in God. And that's why Jesus came through mercy and compassion to the Jewish people and now to all of us. And he wants to win this whole world if he could, but he's already told us, you won't. We're not going to win the whole world. There will be multitudes who will hate God to the end. And if you think that's, well, thank God I'm not as stupid as that. Yeah, you actually are. This is just God who didn't make anybody choose, but just simply knew ahead of time that some would and some wouldn't. And he calls the some that chose remnant. Usually when you have a carpet, it's got, you know, 10 yards of remnant, but 90 yards of, you know, good. So the remnant is not the majority. Usually the remnant is the leftover, what's left over. It's a good carpet, but it's not big enough to do a room kind of thing. So we're just numberless. I mean, it's big, but it's not as big as the wicked. And so we don't know what that number is. We don't know if we're 10% or we don't know really what it is, but you usually don't buy more than you need. But many will perish. Many will perish. But a numberless host will not. And so I believe this is the greatest day to be alive in terms of understanding what time it is right now. Is we're there. I mean, we're there. Let's start today. Let's start today. Let's just go up to people instead of saying, hi, how are you? Say, what a blessing you are. You know, every time I see your face, I just light up. You don't have to feel that. You don't have to understand that. Just do it. It's edifying. Let's say it wasn't the Lord. He wanted you to say in French or something. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. Your work is not the issue. It's just begin to think along those lines and God will fill in the blanks. You're not able to say, well, I want to try to sound more sincere next time. I think I'll say it louder. I think I'll be quieter next time. Those mechanics don't mean anything. That's as though it was still up to you.
Just say it. Just say it. Let God work it out. If it was wood, hay, and stubble, it'll burn up. And if it was, you know, gold, silver, and precious stones, it'll endure. Don't worry about it. Just it's a lot better than you thinking you're doing something or not doing something that pleases God. You don't know. Just borrow words out of the Bible. If they're real, they'll come forth. You're not the judge. Only God knows. Only God knows. But it's better when you walk up to somebody, if you say, even if it's in the flesh, if you say, "You're such a blessing to me." That is good. It doesn't matter. Maybe you deceived them. Maybe you didn't think that at all. Or maybe your next thought was, "Well, I'm glad I'm done with that person," or whatever. It doesn't matter. We're not psychologists. Don't psychologize your faith. Don't listen to your emotions or your thoughts, because they'll accuse you. Go to the Word. Go to the promise. All our hope is in God. It's not in us. So it's done. You are perfected right now. You're already perfected, even though it doesn't appear. Doth not yet appear. You're already perfect. Start speaking that way. You'll know. The Holy Spirit will let you know right away whether you are proud or humble. Well, then go off secretly and say, "Forgive me, God, for being proud," or whatever, pretending I was humble, whatever. Don't worry about it. Unless he convicts you, don't be convicted. Are you hearing me? So just go forward and do it, and don't stop to say, "Well, did you really mean that?" What would that mean? How would I know what I really mean? I don't even know which me did that. Just do it. Just do it. And so, "Well, I don't want to be like the Jewish hypocrites." That has nothing to do with hypocrites. You're a hypocrite if you don't say what a new man would say. And since you don't know, say something that you think might be what he would say. Why am I saying this? So you don't listen to your emotions. You don't listen to your thoughts. You don't listen to public. You don't listen to the world. You listen only to God. Why doubt that if you want to, by the Holy Spirit, do the will of God, why doubt that the next thought that comes to you or the next word that comes to you that doesn't conflict with any scripture, as far as you know, just go ahead and do it. It probably is a greater blessing than, "Hi, how are you?" "Well, I had lumbago last week," and so on. That stuff does not edify. I'm not sure what does, but I know that doesn't. And so that'll just, you know, so much of it is superficial and wasteful. Spend more time with Jesus. And here's something I've learned. If you'll spend several hours a day in the Word and in prayer and in confession and in praise, when you meet somebody, probably what happened to you could well be the very word that they need. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying probably. And sometimes they even say, on Friday, one of the young men from here came and sat down next to me down in Austin. And he shouldn't. I mean, he should not have done that, but he just did. He just sat down next to me. It's like, he deliberately wanted to sit next to me right there. And so I thought, "Holy Spirit, why is this man here?" And so the only thing I could think, the only thing that came to me was, 3 years ago, we had a talk. And I remember it had something to do with God. It didn't have anything to do with the political stuff. And I just said, "I think we were probably talking about 3 years ago, blah, blah." And he said, "Yeah, it was something about that." And then immediately came into my mind. And so I said something, and he went, "Yes." And I just began to speak, and he was just like glued to everything I was saying. And all of a sudden, I said something, and he jumped up, and he said, "That's the word I needed to hear today. I got into a big argument with my wife this morning. I'm going to go take care of that right now. I did the wrong thing." It's powerful. He was so excited. So I have no idea what all that was. I can't measure it or have any idea. I just knew. I think that was the Holy Spirit. And many things happen like that. But just go ahead. It's fun to experience the presence of God. And it's easy to teach those things because you've spent a lot of time with God. That's how you hear. You learn to hear His voice. "My sheep hear My voice." You hear right now. Who would like to start right now? Prime the pump. Who would like to start? David? Oh, you'd like to start. Yeah. I was not thinking theoretically, but actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Stand up and say something. To your wife, to the church, to whatever.
Yeah, I mean, just speaking the word.
Yeah, yeah. Don't talk about it. Just do it.
Okay. You're a blessing to me.
Amen.
A light up every time I see you.
Amen. Praise God. No, see, that's powerful. That's powerful. Who else? Who else?
4 years ago, after doing it in my own effort, God supernaturally gave me a love for the trees that I couldn't explain or understand. And now I can tell everybody here I love you.
Amen. It's powerful.
I love one, I can love
everybody. Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Who else? Who else? And just try it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. It's just obedient. Just do it outwardly. But it might be God. Yes. Powerful. Right. Right. Okay, I want to build on that. Are you the light? Are you the salt, the salt on earth? Or is that just God saying it? So since you are, why not try it? The worst can happen is You didn't look like much of a light, and you didn't sound like much truth. But so what? Just go ahead and do it. Try it. If, in fact, you are, why not be you and say it? Because it may well be God. I know when you're in the flesh is when you're listening to your emotions. That's always going to be in the flesh. So are your thoughts, unless you take them captive.
Amen.
Unless you take them captive to the Word of God. So We're not going to heaven because we say the right words or do the right things. But you should do that so someone else may go to heaven. So say good things. Say things that build up. Say things, even if it's not. Don't measure it. Just let God decide that. But it won't hurt to say good things. You're not being a hypocrite. You're being a hypocrite if you don't, because that's who you are. You're a new creation right now. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. So trust that God will speak through you and act through you right now to glorify his own name. You're his people. I don't know how they'll ever hear the good news unless you share it. He's not going to do it with angels. He wants to do it through you. So just share this good news to somebody. Say, I don't know why I'm saying this. You can't say it in a wrong way. I don't know why I'm saying it, but I just wanted to say you're a blessing to me. It's not going to hurt anyone. You look like you're troubled. Would you mind if I prayed for you? It doesn't hurt. Is it God? I don't know. All I know is those are closer to it than if I just go by my emotions. I'm not going to hear God because I'm listening to another voice. So I want to say what I believe. You can just quote a scripture. Learn a lot of scriptures and just quote them. And then the Holy Spirit, here's what I've found. When you start quoting just scripture, all of a sudden another thought will just come in right behind it. And it isn't a scripture, but it's built on that scripture. And you say that, and that if that person responds, you know, wow, that was God. I don't know. I just knew that came right into me. I would never have thought of that, but it just came right like that. I believe that God, if you trust that you've heard God, and don't trust, well, probably wasn't God. Don't do that. I don't know whether it was or not. Don't say it was. But you thought it was, go ahead and say it. The worst can happen is it wasn't. But it's still not going to keep you or even them out of heaven. Because your motive was, God, I want to say your words. I want to do your deeds. Just start doing it. Don't wait. Little children just say whatever comes out of their mouth. Just do it. Just do it. All right, who else would like to try it one time before we quit? Yes.
I guess my heart is pounding, so I'm supposed to share those. God has me trying to say I love you more often, even kids disappoint me. And so I say, I love you every time I write to them or whatever. Well, on the phone, I use I love you a lot, too. I had a repairman call the other day. That the I said, and I love you. Have a great day. And I'm like, well, maybe he needed to hear that. On the phone, I was a little horrified.
Right. Yeah, right. Especially when he showed up 5 minutes later at the bus.
He was on time.
Yeah, he was on time. That's good. All right. All right. Oboe, let's close in prayer.